I'm excited to be here, and today I just feel like I just want to share what's inside of my heart. To be honest, I've spent the past couple of weeks just in prayer and trying to ask God what it is that He wants me to communicate and share with you guys. And in that process, I feel like I was really confused and that I wasn't really sure exactly what it was that God wanted me to share. To be really honest, I tried to come up with an outline for the sermon today, and I was really struggling to do that. I felt like as I was preparing for the sermon today, there was just so much that I felt like was inside of my heart. But I'm going to try and crystallize that today for you guys, and hopefully you'll be able to hear something and take something from it. And so I'm going to pray, even though Mickey prayed for the sermon today. So if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes just one more time. Father God, I come before you, God, just as I am and with what I am able to give. Father God, I pray that your spirit inside of me would communicate a truth that would set your people free. God, it was for freedom that you came to set us free. And whatever it is that is holding the captives in bondage, God, would you put a finger on it? Would you not let them stay in that place? God, I ask that you would set the captives free today. God, that your sacrifice would not be in vain. God, that it would be the power that sets us free today. So I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I'm going to be speaking out of Galatians. So if you brought your Bibles, you could turn there. It's right after 2 Corinthians. And if you don't know where 2 Corinthians, well, I can't help you because I don't know either. So somewhere in the New Testament. But before I get into the word, I just want to give a little bit of background about Galatians. So in Galatians, there's a doctrinal issue that's taking place, and that doctrinal issue is simply the justification by faith alone. And so what we're seeing in the church of Galatia is that these people who have been given the gospel, have been given the good news, are struggling with this doctrine, the justification by faith, which is really that we are found righteous not by the works, not by what we do, but we're found righteous simply by belief in Jesus Christ and what he's done. But what they're encountering at this church at this moment is people who are coming in again with justification by works of the law. They're coming in and commanding these people that they should be circumcised. And so we see that Paul is writing to the Galatians to address this issue. And the situation that is happening in this place is that this issue between the two doctrines is causing strife. That these issues are causing disunity in the church, and it's tearing them apart. And so Paul is writing to the Galatians because he wants to emphasize that there is only one gospel, that there is only one truth, and that if we cling to the one truth and the one gospel, it will set you free. But the symptom of clinging to a different gospel will lead you back into bondage. And the truth is that no matter how many times we hear the gospel, we are still susceptible to adhering to justification by works of the law. And so he's writing to them again to cling to the one truth, to be free in Christ Jesus. And so I'm just going to read one excerpt from Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. The symptom of clinging to the gospel of justification by works of the law is that we end up seeking the approval of man. The fear of God leads us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fear of man leads us to a different gospel. And every time we let ourselves come into the fear of man, the gospel of Jesus Christ is attacked. And every time we come seeking the approval of other people, then the gospel of Jesus comes under attack. So he comes to them and comes to them again saying, am I seeking the approval of man or am I seeking the approval of God? There's only one gospel and there's only one truth. Right now we're in a series called Thrive. And we've been going through it, and it's basically just a model that's setting us up to how we can live so that we can thrive. And I think the first week we talked about belonging, how it's important for us to belong to a community. And in the second week we talked about how in relationships, it's important for us that we're in a relationship where we give and where we also take. And also, number three, we talked about how it's important for us to be resilient, that every time we get knocked down, we find the courage to get back up. Today, I want to talk about maturity. Wow. Maturity in Christ, maturity in the gospel, and how this is important for us not only to thrive, but also for us to be free. For how could we thrive in life if we're not free? How could we say that we are thriving if we are still in bondage? How could we say that we are thriving if we still allow ourselves to succumb to the approval of man? And if we live in fear, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And this is a truth that we must live and bear out all the days of our lives, and a truth that we must protect because it is consistently and constantly under threat. And if I could be honest with you, I still find that even to this day, that truth is still a threat to me. It's still a threat to my confidence. What do I boast in? I boast in my flesh. I boast in what I am able to do. My self-confidence comes from the things that I'm able to accomplish. But if I boast in Jesus and I boast in the cross, then my confidence cannot be shaken. For it never was in the things that I could do and never was in my flesh. And it is that place that we begin to experience freedom. A helpful definition for maturity is this, and I found it as I'm going through this model, is that maturity is that we are fully developed for our age. Fully developed for our age. And so, conversely, there are a lot of people who are adults and even perhaps acting like an adult, but on the inside, they're still children. And that we think that being an adult is acting like an adult, but yet we are not acting immature. We are pseudo-mature, and that in actuality we are immature because we are not whole. That what we present on the outside is not indicative of what is going on in the inside. That is, the heart issue always translates into how we behave. But there's a subtlety in the immaturity, and there's a subtlety in the deception that I want to talk about today. I want to start with just an example. I'm a son of a pastor, and my dad has pastored a church here in San Francisco for 43 years. And I often talk about my dad, and to be honest, I'm sick of talking about my dad, but I can't get away from it because so much of my life is tied to my childhood. So much of my development is tied to my childhood. So much of the pain that I have is tied to my childhood. And so much of the healing that I need is tied to my childhood and my experiences. And no matter how many times I think I've graduated or that I've healed from the wounds, I find that I need to go deeper and that there's so much more room for me to grow. So I'm sick of talking about my dad, but I find myself here again talking about him and his life and his ministry. A couple months ago, my dad retired. And they had a ceremony for my father. And so all of us went. My dad told me, you need to dress up in a tie, suit and tie. And I was like, I don't want to. He was like, you need to shave your facial hair. And I was like, that's ridiculous. And I was like, but if it's really because for you and this is your retirement service, I'll show up and I'll do all that. So I showed up, and it was something very extravagant, this retirement ceremony. If you don't know, I'm Korean. And my dad preaches at a Korean church. So there was a lot of formalities, and it was a huge ceremony, a huge procession of people from in the community and even Korea who had came to honor my dad. And so literally for an hour or 2 hours, people would just get up and go on stage, and they would just honor my dad. And they would compliment him, and they would say, you did this, and you did that. And there was so much honor going out, and so much appreciation for what he had done. But in the midst of it, I didn't really feel anything. And so it finally came time for my dad to step onto the stage. After like an hour of little people just saying like, you're great, you're this, and giving him accolades and flowers. And my dad steps up to the stage, and this is the first thing he says. He says, I would like to apologize. Said, I want to apologize to the people in the church. During my 43 years of ministry, I've hurt a lot of people. And then he turned to my family, and he looked at us, and he said, I want to apologize to my family. And he said, I was so stressed, and I was so caught up in the ministry and doing work that when I went home, I took out the stress on you guys. And he said, I'm sorry. And then he sat down. That was it. That was his retirement speech. After 43 years of ministry and being surrounded by people who would praise him and for everything that he's done, he got up on stage, and the only thing that was in his heart was to apologize and to say that I'm sorry. And can I be honest? There was a lot of people around me who were crying. But me, I felt nothing. I felt nothing. It was nothing. I literally felt nothing. If anything, I was frustrated and I was angry because my dad had never taken the time during those 43 years to apologize to us in person. Yeah, you're standing on a platform right now and you're apologizing to us. But why could you never do that in front of us or in person? And I just felt nothing. If anything, I just felt angry. What would cause a man to dedicate his life to God and to serve him faithfully, but yet at the end of 43 years be filled with regret? What would cause a man to behave like an adult, to do the right thing consistently, even when it got tough, even when people badmouthed him, even when he was tired? What would cause a man to behave like an adult on the outside and do the right thing, yet inwardly be so distressed, be filled with so much regret? When I look at Galatians, Paul highlights a heart issue, something inside of the heart that translates on the behavioral level. And I want to highlight that heart issue right now. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 and continuing, Paul says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him to a spirit of gentleness. But keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. A lot of us on a behavioral level, we're bearing other people's burdens. A lot of us on a behavioral level, we're fulfilling the law of Christ, and that is loving one another. But there's something on the heart level, that if it's not in alignment and consistent with our behavior, that there's something that just rings false. There's something that just doesn't ring true. There's something on the inside when it's not aligned with what we do on the outside that tears us apart. And this word here that Paul talks about, conceited, I forgot what the Greek was. I swear that I studied this, but I don't even remember what it was. But basically, it translates to empty glory. Empty glory. And that word conceited basically means is that when we're chasing glory, we sense the emptiness inside of us. And because we sense that emptiness inside us, we're trying to fill it. We're trying to fill it with other things, with glory. But what it renders itself to is emptiness. That's what conceited is. We sense our emptiness, but we try to fill it with other things. We try to fill it with approval. We try to fill it with the things of this world for affirmation, but it renders itself empty. That's what it means to be conceited. That's what it means to have empty glory. This heart condition of needing approval, this heart condition of needing to be filled is something that is in all of us. We all have it. But the gospel of Jesus Christ comes and fills this void and says, you don't need to fill it with the things that you do. You fill it with the affirmation of Christ. And every time we try and fill that void with something else, we become endangered to a different gospel. And so Paul says that there is no other gospel. Don't be fooled. Don't try and fill it with other things. When I look at my dad, it's hard for me to judge from the outside looking in what exactly was inside of his heart. But the fact that a man could preach and minister for so long, yet be tormented on the inside, tells me that there might have been something inside of his heart. Something deep down that was pulling him away. The fear of man, it chokes the true gospel. The fear of man pulls us away from that which is true. If I'm being honest, in preparation for this sermon today, I was gripped by fear. You know, I've preached before, and I've been able to do it, but for some reason, as I was preparing for this sermon, nothing is resonating. Nothing is coming to the service, and I was just filled with so much fear and anxiety, and a lot of it was, to be honest, that if I didn't come up on this pulpit today, that if I didn't deliver a good word, I was just scared. I was scared that that you would reject me. I was scared that that if I didn't have your approval of the message that I was going to preach today, that I would be embarrassed. And I think because of that fear, I just couldn't put together a word. In fact, last night I was filled with so much anxiety, and I don't know why, this has never happened before, but I was just filled with so much anxiety. I just went to God in prayer, and I was like, God, there's nothing. I can't hear your voice. There's just nothing coming to me. All I feel is anxiety, and I'm gripped by fear. And God, I don't know what's going on, but I just can't do anything. I'm in bondage right now. I'm a captive. And I was like, God, I don't know what to do. And I started to break down. I just started to cry, and I just started to weep. I was like, God, I can't do it. I was like, I don't know what it is, but there's so much fear and anxiety in me right now that I can't even go forth and prepare this message. In that moment, for whatever reason, I thought of my dad. He was dealing with so much stress and anxiety that at times it was so stressful, he went home and he took it out on the family. And I think God wanted to show me in that moment and just give me a glimpse of what my father went through. And I know it was just a moment. And I know the anxiety and the fear that I felt in that moment, which gripped me, which was filling me with so much stress and anxiety, was just one moment. But I felt like God wanted to give me a glimpse of one moment of what life might have been like for my dad for 43 years. So I got on the phone and I called my dad. And I said, and I told him during your ceremony, when you shared that during that time you were sorry, I was like, I told him, I was like, I felt nothing. I felt nothing for you. My heart, it couldn't love you. I said, today as I was preparing for this message, and my heart was just gripped with so much fear and anxiety, I just caught one glimpse of what you went through those 43 years. And I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way that I judged you. I'm sorry that I couldn't love you. And I told them that I want to love you, but it's so hard for me to love you. But in this moment, I think God is helping me to understand a little bit of your life and what you went through. And so I said, I just want to apologize for judging you for all of those years and for not understanding your heart and for not understanding all of the hardships that you went through. And my heart broke because during those 43 years, it's very possible that he was filled with fear. It's very possible during those 43 years that his heart was just filled with anxiety. It's very possible that during those 43 years, all he wanted to do was to do the right thing, to act as age, to be the adult, to do what he was supposed to do. But on the inside, torn apart because his heart was gripped with so much fear. And I say this to cling to the gospel, not as a way to judge you or to judge my dad, but it's very clear to me that if we allow ourselves to continue in the fear of man, seeking approval from other people, that the true gospel will be choked. And it just doesn't hurt us. It hurts the people around us. So what's at risk is more than just ourselves. What's at risk is our communities. What's at risk is our children and our children's children. And that if we don't identify the root of our fear, if we don't stop our continual seeking approval for man, that the people who are below us will replicate what they see and will continue a cycle of fear and of bondage and of captivity. But the only thing that can set us free is the gospel and the one true gospel. It's the fear of God, not the fear of man. So today, I simply ask, where is your approval? Where is your validation? In that moment last night, for me, it was in my ability to preach a good word, to share something with you guys. But can I say something? This morning, I have no confidence. I have no confidence in my ability to preach a good word. I have no confidence in my ability or in my flesh to deliver something that will speak to you. The only thing that I can do today is boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. The only thing and the only place I can gain confidence is in the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And only in that place can I stand before you today and say, whether or not you receive this word and whether or not you receive me, that I know that God receives me. That I could step off this stage today, and whether or not you think that I have something to say, or whether or not you approve of what I do, that God approves of me. And that is the only confidence I have. And that is the only way that I could step off this stage and still hold my head high. That's the only way that I could step off this stage and go forward. That is the only confidence that I have. It's not in my flesh. Nor have my ability, which keeps me a prisoner to the fear of man. My only confidence can be in Jesus Christ and this gospel, that I am justified, that I am found righteous, that I am in right standing with God, simply because I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and that he is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life. Anything else will suck the life out of you. What Paul says here in chapter 6 is this: for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
I just want to ask, is there any of you here today who are sick of acting like an adult? Who are sick of always doing the right thing, but inside you're tormented? That you go home at night and you feel lonely. You feel depressed. Is there any of you here who are growing weary in doing good and always doing the right thing and always being perceived as the one who is responsible in doing good? But are you tired and are you weary? Do you have stress? Do you have anxiety, which are all symptoms of fear? What do you fear is what I want to ask you today. And say that in place of that fear, I can only hope that you find confidence in God and that the love of God would set you free. And that you would not submit again to a yoke of slavery. But this takes courage. It's not something that you learn once and that you graduate from. Courage is every day. Courage is in the face of fear and of the approval of man, choosing to not put your identity in other people's approval. Courage is when you're faced with a difficult moment, you say, God, I'm going to move forward. And so today I simply just stand before you on this stage with whatever courage I have in the face of whatever fear and anxiety that I have, to just stand up and to preach what I know that's what's inside of my heart, and then to step off this stage and say, God, I'm still free. God, I'm still free. God, I'm still free. God, I'm still free. And that's pretty much all I got today.
Why don't we pray? That's the only thing. God, I'm always confronted with my own weakness. God, every day I'm confronted with just how little I know. God, every day I'm confronted with what I can't do. And because of that, I live in fear. Because of that, I have stress. And because of that, I have anxiety. But I know all of that is rooted not in your gospel and not in your truth, but in a different gospel. God, is rooted in a lie, in a perversion, in a distortion of the gospel, which always pulls me away from the center of your love, which always pulls me away from my true identity. And God, I'm asking, God, that even if this gospel, even if this truth is the most simplest thing, that God, it would go deeper and deeper and deeper in all of our lives. And God, in every moment that, God, we feel fear, that, God, we would say, I choose to boast in the cross. That whatever confidence I have in Jesus Christ. And that would be enough to give us courage to face another day. To get up every morning and to move forward. And God, for anyone here who has difficulty waking up in the morning and facing the day, for anyone here, God, whose day is marked by more anxiety and stress than it is joy in the Lord, God, I pray that right now you would root out the lie. That, God, you would center them back in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that they might be found in your love and that hole that is inside of them, that hole that's in all of us, might continue to be filled by the love of Jesus Christ. God, today, would you find us not in our flesh? God, would you not find us today boasting in our own works? But God, today, I just want to be found in your love. I just want to be found there. I want to stay there.
God, I just pray for maturity. There's a lot of us here, God, who don't feel whole because, God, everything that we've been told to do, God, it's difficult. We're growing weary, and a lot of us are tired of acting like the adult. A lot of us are tired of acting responsibility, but on the inside, it's killing us. It's killing us. And God, I don't say this to badmouth my dad, but I don't want anyone here to continue for 43 years and continue to sow, God, and just be filled with regret and be filled with pain. God, I pray that you would break the cycle. God, break the cycle. Break the cycle and set us free. God, because it's more than just us. It's our friends. It's our families. It's our communities, God, that's at risk. And I don't want to see this cycle continue. So in the name of Jesus Christ, set the captives free. Break the cycle. God, we cling to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen.